Welcome to the Home Church Podcast. My name's Kenny, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Home Church, and we gather in Maiden, North Carolina. We're so glad you tuned in to today's episode, and we hope that this episode will help encourage you and inspire you as you continue to follow Jesus step by step. If any of you has a dispute with another, do you dare to take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the Lord's people? Or do you not know that the Lord's people will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that you will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, do you ask for a ruling from those whose way of life is scorned in the church? I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? But instead, one brother takes another to court, and this in front of unbelievers. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers and sisters. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of heaven. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, and you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time today. God, your Spirit is clearly present and very palpable. God, I say thank you for this moment to gather with your people, to be able to lay things at your feet, to be able to lift our hands and to worship you, for you're worthy. God, we thank you for your word, and we pray that over the next few moments as we study it, as we pull it apart, that it would teach us, that it would help us align our hearts with you and live our lives in a way that you would have us to live. So that when we walk out of these doors, Father, we hold a witness to the world, telling them of your goodness and your grace and your mercy, and you're worthy of that. So we thank you for this. We thank you for your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, church, y'all can have a seat. Make yourselves at home. Well, good morning. My name's Kenny. I serve as one of the pastors here at Home Church. When I was younger, my family didn't go out to eat very often. In fact, we always ate leftovers. So if you ever spend any time with me, and you're talking about leftovers, I got nothing for you, all right? That was a time in my life I had to do it. Like, I don't do it anymore. That doesn't mean I'm rich. It just means I don't eat leftovers, all right? But one time a week, every week, we would go out to dinner. And during that season, for the most part, every single week, we went to Chili's. Now, listen, you can hate Chili's all you want, but let me just say this. That chips and salsa runs in my veins, all right? I loved it back then. I love it right now. I'm going to just go ahead and tell you, like, Chili's is on its way back up. If y'all don't know, buy some stock in Chili's. Like, it's on its way back up, all right? In fact, just yesterday, I tried to go to lunch at Chili's in Hickory at 1:30, super late lunch, 30-minute wait. Come on, y'all. A 30-minute wait at Chili's at 1:30 on a Saturday afternoon. Y'all better get ready. Chili's is on its way, all right? But each week we would go, and can I be honest with you, when I was a kid, I actually hated it. And it wasn't because of the food. I love Chili's. You just heard me give them a very overt advertising. Chili's, we can talk about an endorsement deal, influencer. We have some land we want to pay off. Just kidding. I hated to go, and it didn't matter if it was Chili's or wherever we went. I hated to go out to eat because every single time my dad pulled this thing where he would order a steak, he would have a couple of bites of it, and then he'd call the waiter over, and he would send it back. Something was always wrong. Not done enough, too done. And then they would bring that steak back. He'd have a couple of bites of that, And then he'd send that one back. And then they'd finally bring one and eat the whole thing. Now listen, I hated that. It was embarrassing for me. I didn't want to be around any of that. It was awful. And I knew his game. I knew what he was trying to do, because after the meal, inevitably, you know what he would always do? He would ask for it for free. And I hated that. I hated that. I think many of us have probably had experiences with something like that in your life. Maybe someone around you, maybe it's even you, all right? So don't take too heavy offense if this is you, but there's constantly this thing that I see. I saw it throughout my childhood. I see it even in the culture today. I see it even in the church today, that people are consistently finding a way to be offended. Always looking at finding ways to be angry about something. They got something to point out that this didn't look right, this didn't sound right, this doesn't feel right. There's all these different things that people are constantly finding a way. Listen, I'm saying, and I say that purposely, they're finding a way to be offended. Offense is just like anything else in this life. If you go looking for it, it won't be hard to find, right? And I see this running rampant. I see it in our culture, right? We have the cancel culture. We have all these things where you say something online. I saw someone post something the other day about a cat, and you should have seen the comments. You know, there are people on this side who are cat lovers and they were offended. There are people over here like me who are cat haters and still have one because my family makes me, and they were offended. You had people that don't like any animals and they're standing in the middle, they're offended. Like, it's just constant. Angry. And so not only is it like taking offense, but it turns into arguments. It turns into dissension. It turns into division. And ultimately it turns into really, I think, a spirit of offense that runs rampant. And let me just say this. There's a spirit of offense that I think many people in our culture for sure carry. But let me lovingly say this. The spirit of offense runs rampant in the church as well. You know how I know? Because you always got to walk over and find Betty Sue, have that conversation about how the music was too loud today, and pastor said he was going to go short, and he never goes short. Even when he says he's going to go short, we have a pastor who lies. We come over here, and we talk about, man, it's always too cold in that auditorium. I can't believe he wore a sweatshirt on. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying there's just... We got this gossip. We got these things that people go, and it's because they got something they got to say. And all it does is it creates this division and this spirit. And by the way, let me just say this. That's the spirit of offense, but it also looks like a spirit of division. And let me lovingly say this. Spirit of division is not of the Lord. It's of the enemy. Our God is not a God of confusion, and he is not a God to create division. In fact, the last prayer, the last thing that Jesus said before he went to the garden and then ultimately to the cross, he prayed for unity, for the ability for sons and daughters to come together to be unified, right? And so here, the scripture that I read, Paul is addressing disputes inside of the church. More specifically, he's talking about people that he's heard that are having these disputes, and they've taken these arguments and these disagreements and these dissensions, and they've taken them to the next level. And not only have they continued to fight and backbite and argue over these things, they took this fight and this argument outside of the church. They took it to the public forum, and they're actually creating lawsuits where there are judges who are offering judgment over these issues. And Paul's trying to address these things. He's saying that this is not the way. So for the past few weeks, we've been in a series here at Home Church, a teaching series, teaching through the book of 1 Corinthians. And the series is called Course Correction. The idea around this is that the whole book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is offering a lot of course correction to the church in Corinth. We've talked a little bit about this church. It's based in a city that if you were to look at it today and kind of compare it to American cities, it would be a culmination of three different cities in America. It would look a little bit like New York in the way of its cultural environment, the way of its religious diversity, belief systems. It would look like Las Vegas in the way of immorality and everything goes, and it would look a lot like LA in the way of its culture, its entertainment, its education. So you put all of these things together and we've got a new church of new believers that are trying to navigate their way through the culture. And Paul is writing this letter to them and he's saying, yo, there's some things that you're doing. There's some things that you're saying. There's some ways in which you're moving that are not right. They're not of God. They need to be corrected. It's time to make a correction. And so over the past few weeks, we've been not only teaching through that, but also leading ourselves through some things that maybe we needed to correct our course on. Week one, we talked about where Paul taught in the first part of this book chapters 1 through 4. He taught about the correction of the course of the way that leadership was happening inside of the church. We talked a little bit about how God was moving some things inside of our church and the way that we were leading as elders and as our staff team. Week two, he talked about the correction of sin. He talked about a man who was sleeping with his stepmother. And just in general, we were offered this correction over sin in our life, unrepentant sin that needed to be dealt with, that Paul said, yo, we've got to repent. We've got to turn from these things. Even the pagans don't act this way, and yet we're acting this way in the church. This is not okay. And so Paul continues in this correction, and today he's going to give us some correction in the way that we deal with each other, the way that we work through each other. Because if you ever have had a relationship in any way, shape, or form, you've been a son or a daughter. You've been a mother or a father. You've been a brother or a sister. You've been a friend. Here's what you know. In any relationship you've ever had at any point, at some time, there's going to be an issue. There just is. There's going to be an argument over putting the toilet seat down or leaving it up. There's going to be a disagreement over whether to take the trash out in that moment or the next morning. It's always in that moment, men. Let me just tell you from many times that I've... There's always going to be an argument over, I said go to bed and I meant it. All right, you name it. There's always going to be some conflict, some issues between any form of relationship. But what Paul is talking about very specifically here is about issues amongst believers in the church and the way that they are specifically handling these disagreements. And he offers some correction. And so today, we want to go back through what we just read, pull it apart, and see what the Bible has to teach us about aligning with God, aligning with the way he teaches his church to live, and the correction of the course that Paul offers here. All right, so again, if you have your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, this is verse 1. He says, if any of you has a dispute with one another, do you dare take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the Lord's people? He's saying, like, why would you take an argument to unbelievers? They don't believe the same way. They don't see things the same way. Why would you do that? Or do you not know that the Lord's people will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? And we'll come back to that. How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, do you ask for a ruling from those whose way of life is scorned in the church? I say this to shame you. That's nuts. Paul's like, I'm literally trying to like get your attention here. You're wrong. I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers, but instead one brother takes another to court and in this in front of unbelievers? So not the main point of this text, but one of the things I always like to teach is when you read your Bible and you read something that maybe stands out that's odd, it doesn't make sense, it maybe doesn't fit, or something that you're like, what does that mean? If you read any of that and there was something that grabbed your attention, more likely than not, it was probably the same thing that grabbed my attention. We're not gonna spend a lot of time on this, but I don't wanna skip over it, but I wanna teach you a little bit of how to read and interpret and use the Bible. When you find something like that, you need to stop. You need to take that, take it to the Lord. You wanna maybe do a little study, try to figure out. Anytime the Bible asks a question that you don't know the answer to, that's a good reason to stop and to discover. And the Bible here says something really weird. Did anybody else catch it? Because when I read it, I was like, wait, what? Wait, we're going to judge angels? Did anybody else catch that? That's like, wait, what? What is happening here, right? I don't have a ton of time to teach this. We'll get back to it another day. But just really, really quickly, I want to just kind of give you a little insight into that. I wish I had more time, but I just don't. When Christ returns and he takes the body, the body of believers, those of us who are believers, born-again believers, he takes us back to heaven, there will be a time of judgment. I know nobody likes to talk about judgment, right? But there will be a time of judgment. And in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21, mark that down, write that down, go back and read it later. Revelation 3 and verse 21, John tells us in the book of Revelation that we will actually sit with Christ on his throne offering and rendering judgment. And included in that will be angels. Everything's going to get judged, y'all. Even the angels, right? And so what it says in Revelation 3 is that Christ will, because we're his heirs, he will hand us his authority to rule and to reign even in that moment. And a part of that will be offering judgment, even on angels. That's nuts, right? I wanted to just highlight that because this is a good Bible reading lesson real quick. Anytime you read something, it doesn't make sense. Mark it down, write it down. That's a good thing because the Bible is not, listen, I know you've been taught all your life that the Bible has all the answers you need, right? The Bible's the answer book. You've been told that, right? Homie, that ain't right. The Bible is God's word meant to illuminate truth. The Bible is written in a way to lead you to discovery. For you to discover what the truth is through the form of revelation. The Holy Spirit of God will reveal to you all truth. That's one of the works of the Spirit, to reveal all truth to you. And here's one of the ways I like to think about this in the way of revelation, is revelation is meant to be revealed. This is not something that you can just be taught. Revelation is meant to be revealed to you, okay? So anytime you hit something hard like that, I want to encourage you to celebrate because even if you don't know what it means right then and God hasn't shown you, you can celebrate because that means one day he will, right? So to the main point, I want you to do something. All right, take your arm, take your finger. I want you to give yourself just a pinch. Now, it's up to you. You can pinch yourself real hard and like, wake up, he's put me to sleep, or I don't know, or however, right? You just pinch yourself, right? Did anyone feel that? Yeah. All right, now reach over and pinch your neighbor. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. But think about this. Think about how you might feel if someone actually reached over and pinched you. Like some of y'all might be like, well, I thought he was cute, so I was kind of hoping, you know, I'm single, maybe. Some of you husbands are like, man, this is awesome. Here's the point. So if you pinch yourself, you feel something, right? Depending on how you feel something. Also, just that feeling that you had in that moment of like angst or like, oh, okay, what's going on? When I asked you to reach over and pinch someone, that is just a little illustration of the fact that all of us feel things and we have emotions. That's just a reality of this existence. That you're gonna feel things, both physically and emotionally. You're gonna have feelings. That's just the truth, okay? Paul's not necessarily saying your feelings don't matter. What Paul's saying is that you're gonna have feelings. Some of times they're gonna get hurt. There is a right and a wrong way to deal with your hurt feelings. It's a right and a wrong way. And he offers correction around this. He says, if you have a dispute, your feelings have been hurt, you've been wronged by another believer, do not take this to the courts. Do not take this, let me go a step further, to the court of public opinion. Y'all, we got way too many Christians out here, believers, that got an issue with another believer, maybe even in the church, going to social media, making all these things and making all these statements and creating all these issues, when the Bible clearly teaches us the right way to deal with a dispute amongst another brother or sister is to go to them in love and in truth and in grace. Talk to them, have a conversation. And then, by the way, we talked about this last week, if it still doesn't get resolved, there's another thing to do. We take another brother or sister. Then eventually we take it to the church. Nowhere does the Bible say when you get pissed off, go tell everybody about it. It just ain't in there. I mean, it ain't in the New King James. It ain't in the King James. It ain't in the Hebrew. I mean, it just ain't in there. See, here's the thing. Somebody's going to write an email about the fact that I said pissed, right? I'm offended. And some of you might truly be, and that's fine too, right? That's a, you got a right to have your feelings. You want to know the right way to deal with it? Let's have a conversation, right? I did that on purpose. I just wanted to see who would be willing to come talk to me today. Paul's specifically talking about lawsuits, right? He's specifically talking about lawsuits here. But I think not only does this pertain to lawsuits, I think this just pertains to other relationships inside of the body of believers with brothers and sisters in the right way to go about things. He goes as far as to say, like, you're taking your issues to non-believers. They're not going to think the same way we think. They're not going to believe the same way we think. They're going to base and judge things off of the way the world thinks. And so when we do that, we're removing the way of Christ away from our relationship, even in the hard parts. See, I know y'all have never been taught this. I know most churches, they just gossip and they don't actually talk about hard things. This is, and by the way, this is amazing because we're just teaching through 1 Corinthians. This wasn't just like I was ticked off at somebody and I just wanted to, you know, this is just like right in line with where we're, like where the scriptures are leading us. And there's a right way and a wrong way to handle these things. He says something really important here. He's like, you're taking these things to the outside. You're taking these things to non-believers. My question, he asked this question a little rhetorically, I think a little tongue-in-cheek. I mean, is there no one amongst you who's wise enough to help you judge and discern these things? And the thing is that there are some places that maybe there's not. Maybe the reason that people go running outside of the church is they don't believe there's wisdom and healthy ability to deal with conflict inside of the church. All right. We're called to at least give it a try. And so if we look at it, I think that we got to look at this piece about judgment, and I think we've got to look at this piece about how to navigate this part around wisdom. So if you have your Bible, I want you just to see this really quickly. This is in James chapter 3. I want you to see this. This is a filter that you can use as you think about having these hard conversations, dealing with disputes, how to consider and what judgment and wisdom looks like. James actually writes that there's two types of wisdom. Did you know that? There's actually two types of wisdom. There's earthly wisdom, there's heavenly wisdom. James highlights the difference here. I want you to see this. James chapter 3, starting in verse 13. If you have a heading in your Bible, what's it say? Two kinds of wisdom. So see, I didn't just make it up. I mean, it's not in the inspired part, but it's there, right? Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility. That comes from wisdom. Let's break this apart. If someone has wisdom, there will be good deeds that they're living out. Their fruit, their humility will show that there is wisdom there. But, verse 14, if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambitions in your hearts, okay, that sounds familiar. I'm mad, I'm offended, I'm angry, I'm upset. Like that sounds a lot like the same. Bitter envy and selfish ambitions in your hearts. Do not boast about it or deny the truth. Meaning, don't go talking about it, and also don't lie about it. Let's be real about this. Verse 15, I love this. I got to use my hands. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly. This is the first kind of wisdom. Wisdom that comes from the earth, and it is not from heaven. Watch what it says. It is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. So what many of us in the earth, where we go to courts and we ask everybody, everybody goes to social media and asking them, what do they think? Earthly wisdom, the Bible says, is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. No wonder you get all that crappy advice out there on social media and talking to your friends who aren't believers. Verse 16, there's a shift here. For where you have envy and self-ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. That's earthly wisdom, not good. but, oh, now, come on. Y'all been walking with me a long time. Verse 17. Y'all know I like a good big biblical but, right? But the wisdom that comes from heaven, this is the one we want. We don't want that earthly wisdom. We want the wisdom that comes from heaven, don't we? I got two people that want heavenly wisdom in the house, all right? I'm still mad he said that word. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. See, I didn't lie to y'all today. I'm going short. That's that music. Y'all like, oh, he'll do that for 30 minutes. We don't even believe him still. Poor David, his carpal tunneled hands. See, there's two types of wisdom. And when we go running to the earth, we take our disputes and our arguments and our issues that we have with another brother or believer, sister, brother, sister, believer. When we take them to the world, we get earthly wisdom. It's earthly, unspiritual, demonic. And yet, when we seek wisdom from heaven, it's pure, it's peace-loving, it's considerate, it's all these, and I mean, it just sounds like we're about to spout off the fruit of the Spirit, doesn't it? This is what it looks like to have wisdom, that we need to seek this kind of wisdom in our issues. It doesn't mean you're not gonna have feelings. It doesn't mean you're not gonna be offended. It doesn't mean you're not gonna be hurt and angry. You will, you're human. People are real, they're human. They're gonna upset you. Man, I can look across the room and there's probably, oh, I don't know, 80% of y'all that I've upset at some point in our journey. And if I look at you, there's 100% chance that 100% of y'all at some point are gonna be mad at me about something. It's just real. But the Bible says there's one way to handle it. And I know it's kind of funny and easy to think about you shooting targets at me. I'm used to that. I signed up for this. But when you have these issues amongst a friend that hurts you by what they said or did, when there's been mistrust created with maybe one of your children or even your spouse, maybe even your coworker who is claiming to be a believer, maybe in a raw business deal with someone else who claims to be a believer. This is what Paul teaches. So I want to give you a couple of things. This is, if you're taking notes in the app, your money. If not, you're gonna wanna write this down. Five quick things, real quickly. When you have a dispute, you will at some point, there is a right way to handle it. Here are five things, real quickly. How do I handle it? Number one, talk to them. Mind blown. You mean I actually have to talk to them? Number two, ask for godly wisdom. Ask for godly wisdom. Bring somebody around you who's got some godly wisdom. Three, involve the church so that you can be cared for and held accountable. Everybody likes that first part. Oh, I want to be cared for. To be cared for and held accountable. Number four, don't make it public. Good grief. I'm gonna just say this as lovingly as I can. If you're a owner of home church and I catch you doing nuts stuff on social media, this is my warning. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. I'm dead serious. You can laugh. I'm coming to you. I'm tired of seeing it. Tired of seeing it. You're destroying your witness. And because you're a part of this house, when you do it publicly, guess what? You're destroying our witness too. We ain't got time for that. We got a whole area of people that we're trying to reach that don't even know we're here. And then when they do find out we're here and you're a part of us doing that crazy stuff, you're killing our witness. Stop it. Number five, don't involve non-believers. Don't involve non-believers. They got no part here. All right, so we're gonna look at wisdom. Last part, real quick. 1 Corinthians 6 and 7 through 7. He said, the very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you've already been completely defeated already. Those of us that have been doing this, we've defeated ourselves. We're hurting ourselves. Don't do that. And this is what stopped me in my tracks right here. Because I know exactly what it feels like to be offended and hurt. I know. I pinched myself too. I thought it was weird when somebody wanted to wrench over and pinch me. Okay, I got feelings too. He said this stopped me in my tracks this week. He says, why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers and sisters. I'm gonna skip ahead. It goes down. He talks about all these things. Verse 11 says this. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed and you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That struck me this week. Because I got feelings too. And I've been hurt and offended at times. And it's natural. Part of my flesh, if I'm honest, all of our flesh wants to fight back. You said this, I'll say this. You did that, I'll do that. And especially if something happens to your children or your wife. And listen, if something happens to my children and my wife, I'm gonna just talk for me. Your boy's ready to go to town. Let's go. Like, that's just how I'm built. And that's my flesh. And this word is hard because the truth wars my flesh. I want you to think about that situation. Maybe it's going on in your life right now. Something that maybe you still are carrying resentment and anger over, where you've been wronged, you've been cheated, and it's been done to you by a believer. And I want to just remind you of what Paul said. And this has been challenging me and ministering to me at the exact same time all week. To protect your witness, to protect the witness of the person that you're dealing with, and even to protect the witness of the church, Paul said, why not just be wronged? Why not just be cheated? And again, I'm not saying that's easy, because as I read that, I literally stood up in my seat. I was like, come on, Lord, like, come on. I want to be angry. I want to go back. I want to fight. I want to take up for my wife. I want to do these things. And yet, the correction of the course that Paul is offering to the church in Corinth, and I think to many of us, self-included, is why not rather be wronged? And why not rather be cheated and allow the Lord to handle it? And allow the Lord to work things out? And you keep your witness. You move in godly wisdom and you love people as best you know how and allow the Lord to offer the correction. I won't lie, that's hard. But this is a part of us learning to submit our flesh and our spirit to the truth of what God asks of us and what his word teaches us in the way that we're supposed to walk. Would you stand to your feet? See, I got you. Like my shortest message in the last 3 years. where is there offense and anger and resentment and argument and dissension and division in your heart and your life right now with a believer? Where is it? And maybe it happened 20 years ago and you're still holding it. Maybe it happened 2 hours ago in the parking lot and one of our kids volunteers upset you. I don't know. Maybe it happened 20 minutes ago when I said something. And I wonder if you would ask God to do a work in your heart through his Spirit to give you the ability to do what his word said, to handle your issues inside of the church, inside of conversations the right way. And at the end of it, if there's no resolution, to ask God to give you peace in your heart to be settled on, I've just been wronged and I've been cheated. And whatever I've lost, I've trust that God will restore somehow, some way. I'm gonna give you an opportunity to just respond to God over the next few moments. Keenan's gonna lead us in a song. If you need to do some business with God, the altar will be open. A few of our elders and their wives will be in the corners. If you just need someone to talk with, to pray with, they would love to do that. If you wanna get in God's presence and to receive communion, Christ's body broken for you, Christ's blood poured out for you, communion is available for you to receive today as well in this time of response. I just wonder what the Spirit of God would ask you to do in response to the teaching of his word today. Is there something that you need to repent of? Is there a relationship that needs to be restored? Is there work in your heart to settle on just being wronged? And ask the Lord to make that okay in your heart. I'm gonna pray, Keenan's gonna sing, and I'll ask you to respond to God, and then we'll go home. God, we love you, we thank you for your word. As hard as it may be, God, I pray that you would stir in the hearts of your sons and daughters right now. Oh God, I know the hurt and the pain of conflict, of offense, of dissension, of division. I know it too well. I know how it feels. But God, you sent your son to pay the price, not just for my sin, but for all sin. Even sins committed against me. And so, Father, I pray that you would do a work in my heart to learn to forgive, to learn to trust you. The reason I fight is because I believe that I have a part to play, but God, this is a fight for you. God, I pray for wisdom, not just heavenly wisdom, wisdom straight from you, God. Pure, peace-loving, selfless, submissive, merciful. God, I pray that you would stir the hearts of your sons and daughters today. Move us as we need to move towards you, as we now sing and worship you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If there's anything that we can do to serve you or come alongside of you in your journey, please reach out. You can reach us at hello@myhomechurch.cc.